Let your creativity shine while learning the various facets of the baking and pastry field with Henry Ford Community College's Certificate in Baking and Pastry. Students will explore international cuisine and the art of garde-manger by preparing decorative food displays. For more information, please contact the Student and Culinary Arts Center by calling 313-845-1572 or visit them on the web at hfcc.edu/programs.
Henry Ford Community College in Dearborn, Michigan is a comprehensive public community college serving about 18,000 students each year in Southeast Michigan. HFCC is dedicated to preparing students for the rapidly changing workplace in today's world by offering more than 100 associate degree and university transfer programs. HFCC also specializes in customized workforce development training for business and industry. Since its founding in 1938, HFCC has been the gateway to higher education for thousands of students who seek an affordable, high-quality post-secondary education. To learn more about what HFCC has to offer, please visit us at www.hfcc.edu or you can call the campus office at 1-800-585-HFCC. Your future begins now, and it begins right here at Henry Ford Community College.
This is Hari from I Fight Dragons, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford Community College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. Hi, I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.fm is the station making waves, and for the next hour, we will be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomenon. And our guest today is Mr. Phil Cava. Phil is a Michigan native who, accompanied by friends and family members, has witnessed UFOs coming out of the waters of Lake Michigan. And Phil claims that he has the ability to summon UFOs via meditation and mind power. He is no stranger to the abduction phenomenon as well, and claims to sport an implant that was implanted at his request. And he has worked closely with the late Dr. W.C. Levengood in the area of subtle energies, demonstrating that there is indeed a universal consciousness, and all of us can tap into it. Mr. Cava has recently featured on an edition of Discovery Channel's Uncovering Aliens. He is the author of the book On the Shoulders of Giants, Contemplating the Super Scientific on My Journey Toward Enlightenment. And so without further ado, welcome to the show, Phil.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I want to say hello to your listeners.
Very good. And our listeners want to say hello to you.
Good deal.
But we can't hear them. So I will say hello for them.
All righty.
Okay. So you were recently at the Michigan MUFON meeting in Flint, which I invite every one of our listeners to come to. It's every other month except through the summer months. In fact, I will be presenting in May. I will be presenting May 4th. So that's a Sunday. So guess what? They missed me. Too bad. Welcome to the next one in September. So anyway, you were recently featured on Uncovering Aliens.
Right.
And you mentioned that you've seen craft coming out of the waters of Lake Michigan. Tell us about that.
Well, I got to clarify right there. Never actually saw craft going in and out of the water.
Okay.
So I'm over the lake, you know, on several occasions,
okay.
But never actually saw them going in and out of the water.
Uh-huh.
It may have made it sound like that on the Discovery Channel show,
mm-hmm.
But that's a whole another story. Maybe we can get into that a little bit about how that all came about. I've had, you know, a lifetime of multiple, weird experiences and multiple UFO sightings, but nothing really coming out of the water. But I did work in Grand Haven for years and used to drive by the lake on a daily basis. And I had seen at least a half dozen or a dozen, over the lake, over the years since the early, the mid 90s, I guess.
Now, when you say you've seen them, are we talking lights in the sky, lights over the water, or structured craft close enough to that you can make out that they're structured craft?
All of the above, and with multiple witnesses, mostly daytime sightings. My sighting started, I think it was in 96, and my gosh, I really honestly could not tell you how many daytime sightings I've had with multiple witnesses. On multiple kind of craft, I've seen them do some phenomenal maneuvers, and that's something I'd like to talk to you about too tonight, is some of the maneuvering capabilities I've seen some of the craft do.
Fine, let's talk about that now.
Okay, well, I would like to say one thing about the show. Can we get that real quick? About doing the Discovery Channel show?
Oh, yeah, okay, fine.
Because we can follow into that, but a lot of people may ask why I decided to do the show and come out after not talking about my experiences for over 15 years, closer to probably 18 years. I decided that it was time to tell my story.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Lefty was getting older, and I wanted to talk about CDP device, but...
Now, when we say Lefty, we're talking about W.C. Lovengood.
Yeah,
right?
Dr. Lovengood, yeah,
right.
W.C. Lovengood, mm-hmm. Biophysicist. I worked with him for years in studying subtle energy and energy medicine. He came up with a device that measures basically subtle energy, or mm-hmm. what I refer to as chi. A lot of names for it, but... So I thought maybe I could talk about that if I were to get on the Discovery Channel show.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they had an agenda when they came out to do the show.
Mm-hmm.
When they told me what the show was about, that it was based on several investigators coming out, looking at your case, really doing the research and finding out things, I thought, wow, this would be a great opportunity to tell people about multiple sightings, the maneuvering that I've seen the craft do. And unfortunately, when they got here, it wasn't the investigators so much that had the other agenda. I think it was the producers that actually ended up editing the show. Because they actually filmed at my house and recorded and what they showed on television was a totally different thing. And mm-hmm. I know that the investigators had no say in what actually came out.
Of course not.
On the show.
That's the way it works.
Anyways, I find a lot of people have that same experience when they go to film a show like that. By the time it gets to editing, there's not much left of what they began with.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons I did agree to do the show was to hopefully get some answers. And unfortunately, we didn't get to the answers I was looking for. Back to the craft and how they maneuver. I'll go to one of the earliest sightings I had back in, I think, 97. I had a craft hover approximately... I'd say 40, 50 feet over my head. It was just above an oak tree in the middle of a field. And I'd estimate the size of the craft to be about 30, 40 feet long. It was a bright, super bright metallic. This is about 10 o'clock at night. It hovered over my head silently. I looked up. I could see the deep metal grooves in it. I felt this overwhelming sensation of love. And that didn't seem right to me. That's why I looked up in the air. And this craft was over my head. Well, I was in a subdivision in Westland behind a high school, and there was a field. And there's probably 50 yards between me and where the houses began in this field. The ship took off a couple seconds, maybe a second or two after I noticed it. And when it did, it took off. And when it came towards the houses at the end of the field, it took a 90-degree turn up into the sky and disappeared. Within, I would say, not more than 3 seconds, it was gone out of my sight. But the neat thing was that when it took off, it left a trail of light behind it. And it almost looked like a giant fluorescent light bulb that was solid. Then it turned into a contrail and disappeared. But the thing was, the light bent and went out into space and followed the craft.
The light bent.
The light wave bent. And I thought that was an extremely important fact for UFO investigators to research. If we're going to find out anything about how these things are working and maneuvering, that's very, you know, they have some kind of photon drive or something, but somehow they have the ability to bend light.
All right.
There's no, I mean, I witnessed it with my own eyes.
I have heard a lot about their ability to bend light, and in my personal sighting, the craft was brightly illuminated, but, you know, and it was at treetop level, and yet it did not illuminate the ground.
Yep.
So there's another thing they play with light somehow that we don't quite understand. You and I don't understand.
Yeah.
Maybe the scientists have back engineered it and they understand it. Don't know.
Or right.
I should say the handful of covert scientists.
Yeah. Somebody somewhere knows. But, you know, I have seen craft. Like I said, I've seen giant motherships, small triangular shaped craft, cigar shaped, a lot of soft craft, a lot of round sphere shaped, some probes, you know, smaller things that look to be oblong shaped. But most of my sightings have been with someone, you know, complete strangers even at times. But a lot of times, back to the maneuvering of the craft, you know, there's times when I will see them take off very fast and you will watch them disappear. And then there's other times when they just fade out. There's no other way to put it than maybe they phase out of this dimension into another. So,
well, that's another thing I was going to ask you. Do you think they're other dimensional, extraterrestrial? Or,
yeah, and that's a big thing. I talk about this in my book. And one of the chapters is, you know, angels, aliens, or all the above. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before we have to look at that, you know, we need to focus on ourselves. You know, who are we? And that's another thing. When they came to film Discovery Channel, one of the questions, the show, one of the questions they asked me was, you know, if you could ask them something, what would it be? And I thought, well, who are you, where do you come from, and what are you doing here? And then I thought, well, that same question applies to us.
You know, yeah,
we need to
really?
Figure that out for us first.
Really?
And in my book, I kind of discuss this in the quantum physics about, I have to say that I believe they are extraterrestrial and interdimensional as well.
Right.
One of the main reasons I ended up doing that Discovery Channel show was because of an event that took place right around the first part of 2013, and that was having what appeared to be a gray alien hovering over my bed as I lied in bed, as hovering over my wife as we both lied in bed. And when I woke up and saw that, the reason I say this reaffirms the interdimensional thing is this being was hovering in midair. I could see it from its waist up, from its waist down. It was in another dimension. There was a portal. It appeared to be a black hole at the foot of my bed, hovering in the air, you know, not on the wall, about 18 inches from the wall, 18 inches or so up from the mattress on the bed. And this thing was hovering out of it from waist up. When I noticed, it, you know, it was very solid, appeared very solid from its hands, its head, down to its torso. But where it went into the portal, it looked almost ghostly, as if it was, I don't know, ghostly, I guess, is the best way to explain it. So they're definitely interdimensional and extraterrestrial, in my opinion.
What was going on with your wife all this time that this being was hovering over her?
Well, the reason that the thing came in the first place is that she'd gotten sick, and doctors really didn't know what was going on with her, and I was I've been into energy healing and stuff, and I was asking for a little extra help with, you know, protection in the right way. And I woke up to see this thing doing what appeared to be energy work on her. And, you know, I stared at it for a good 3 or 4 seconds at least before I yelled at it to get out. But she slept while it was there until I yelled at it, and then she got up and asked me what the heck I was doing yelling. But I didn't tell her about what actually happened until the next morning because I didn't want her flipping out that night.
So you asked for extra help, and when it came, you yelled, "Get out!"
Yeah, and you know, and that's a funny thing. You know, I had gotten involved with MUFON. You know, I never really joined, but I met a lot of great people at MUFON years ago when I first started having my experiences, and at Michigan MUFON. And after this experience happened, I kind of stayed in touch with a few people over the years. But after this experience, I woke up the next morning and I thought exactly that. I thought, you know, I asked for this thing to help, and then it comes on and it's helping, and I wake up and I yell at it to get out. And I was really, I felt really confused and really torn over this. And it kind of brought back a flood of emotions for, you know, over the years of, you know, PTSD, dealing with these things and finally getting used to them. But I ended up calling Bill Konkolowski, the head of Michigan MUFON, the state director, who I'd known for years, who, you know, just happens to be the state director of MUFON now. And just to talk, you know, I need someone to talk to about this. And we talked for a little bit, and it just so happens the next day that Bill, coincidentally, the, you know, Discovery Channel contacted some people, him looking for people to do shows on aliens. So that's kind of how this whole thing came into be with the book and everything, the show and leading to the book. But yeah, it's crazy how things kind of all come into place at once. After all years of research and all these experiences, it seems like I'm finally getting to the answers to a lot of the questions that I've had, and I think a lot of experiencers have had for a long time.
Right. Yeah, so I'm going to ask you the same question that was asked on the TV. How do you know that you weren't dreaming?
Well, I woke up, and I saw this thing. Well, and I yelled at it to get out. And then my wife woke up and asked me what was wrong, you know. And then I looked around the room and went back to sleep. And they asked me the same question when they were at, where they were on a show.
Right,
you know,
right,
you weren't dreaming. And I said, well, I didn't wake up after it happened, you know.
Right. Okay.
I was awake when it happened. I didn't wake up after it happened. And this was, you know, this was the first time that I have any conscious, after all these years, at least, you know, I said it's closer probably to 18 years that I've been having experiences, but this is the first time I actually woke up and saw something in my room and remembered it. And the funniest thing about it all, Dave, was that, and the funniest thing is I had no fear when I saw this thing. And I always thought, and, you know, I always thought, you know, for over the years, you know, I want to talk to these. Why don't these guys just talk to me? Come in the day when I can just talk to them. But no, they have to come in the middle of the night, you know. And I always thought, when I wake up and see one of these things, I'm probably going to scream like a little girl and have a heart attack, or, you know. Well, always sleep with my gun and my nut, you know, my sword by the bed, because it's just not that it's really going to help anything, but, you know, there's always been that, you know, fear. Even though when I've gotten used to it over the years somewhat, it's still scary.
Right.
But when I actually woke up and it happened, there was no fear. I was curious, and there was absolutely no fear. After it happened, after it left, I looked around the room, and I went back to sleep.
You know, I don't think I'd be able to get back to sleep after that.
And that's the thing. It's gotten that strange, but like I said, my, you know, it didn't start out like this. You know, first it was like, oh my God, why am I seeing these things? And then, you know, I asked for it, I guess that's why I started seeing them, but you know, I seen them so often that I had to question why. And you know, there was years of fear and questioning why me, what am I, a rablat, you know, or you know, some chosen, you know, something special.
Right.
But you know, you go through this, and then it took me years to finally get to the point where I'm over the fear, and I realize that you're going to resonate, you're going to bring in what you resonate. So if you live in love and you're a nice, decent person, you're going to attract the decent, nice, you know, ETs or interdimensional beings. Right. If you live in fear and you're a jerk, you're going to attract the negative beings. And so I try to be positive and, you know, keep the love going in my life. And They have been. I've realized over the years they have been here at my request. And, you know, they're not doing any miracles for me, per se. They may be, you know, to some extent. But
what really wasn't your request, if I understand you correctly, it wasn't at your request when this whole thing started, was it?
Well, you know,
it was just like fell into your lap. And
you know, I guess it really, though, it was because my, you know, and my interest started, you know, since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
But really, in I think the early 90s, my brother's wife was pregnant and had a the fetus disappear, and she remembered being abducted.
Same.
This was down in Tampa, Florida, and the same thing happened to, like, at least a couple dozen other women in the area at the same time.
Wow.
They found out, you know, years later. But that sparked my interest, and since, I'd say, probably the early 90s, I was literally, intentionally asking them to, you know, contact me, to tell me what's going on, to give me some answers, because I'd known my whole life I never got the answers. None of us had the answers that we needed from anything about our reality here. So eventually,
right.
After years of asking, they started to show themselves to me.
I see.
And, yeah.
So be careful what you wish for, huh?
Well, yeah, you know, what you ask for,
yeah,
that's for sure. And like I said, you know, it's not easy. I got a friend, since I did the show and did some YouTube videos, I had a lot of people contacting me around the world who have had their first UFO contact within the last year.
Mm.
And some of these people have incredible abilities, healing abilities, subtle energy abilities. And it's a lot for these people to take in. You know, luckily they contacted me. They had someone to talk to about these things, but it's really hard. And one thing about MUFON is that we try to, you know, build a support. I think MUFON tries to build a support group for people there, but it's not an easy thing to go through, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, you get what you ask for sometimes. That's it.
I need to take a short break here just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the only station making waves. And you're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell, and we're speaking with a researcher, an experiencer, and author, Mr. Phil Cava, Michigan resident. And you have seen them, Phil, near your home as well. Is that what you were saying on the show?
Oh, yeah.
TV show?
Oh, I've seen them everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Well, matter of fact, on the way home from the MUFON presentation on the 16th of March, I had the wife and two of my older kids with me, and we saw a saucer for about 5 miles. We were driving down the road. I asked them, you know, how I did, and then a couple minutes later, this thing followed us down the road for about 5 miles, and all of us saw it.
With a big sign. You did a fine job, Phil.
I think that's what they were trying to tell
me.
But, I see them all the time outside, you know, outside my house. It doesn't really matter where I'm at.
How far from Lake Michigan do you reside?
See, I'm a good 70 miles from Lake Michigan.
Okay.
On the Discovery Channel show, we lived a lot closer, and we're. I worked right by the lake, though. That's where I had most of my sightings.
Mm-hmm.
I worked only a mile from Lake Michigan. Grand Haven.
Okay.
We're going to beep there, Dave. I'm sorry about that. I don't know if that's my phone or what.
Nope, I didn't hear a beep.
Okay, sorry.
Now, Daryl Sims, during the show, the little hypnosis session with you, and do you have any conscious recall of what transpired during that session?
Yeah, like I said, the show, if you notice on the end of the show, there was, you know, a little disclaimer that, you know, it was dramatized for effect.
Okay.
So, you know, that wasn't real in depth right there, but he actually did off camera another hypnosis session with me earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So that was not filmed. We did that, you know, in private, where it's more relaxed. But, you know, the thing with hypnosis, I've had tried it previously by another person, and I kind of had some results. I really didn't seem to pull anything new from my memories with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have any breakthroughs. There was no new, you know, revelations. Everything I saw was just everything that I had conscious memories of in the first place. But I do think that after the session with Daryl, it did help me to get to some places and start dealing with some other issues, though.
Mm.
So I think it was kind of helpful.
other issues, and I don't want to go into it necessarily, but other issues that don't have to do with the UFO phenomenon.
Well, no, it actually does. It's all related to UFO phenomenon.
Okay.
There's more of getting over the fear and getting more dealing with the fact that the only way I'm going to deal with this is just to face it head on. And mm-hmm. that's what I've been doing since the show. And it's been a real, I guess, more accepting it more, accepting my role in this thing with them. And I think it's come a long way this last year since I've done the show.
Yeah.
A lot of things have come together. I actually finished a book. I started writing years ago, but it really all just came together within this last year.
That's great.
And it's about, it's really brought my research and my experiences and my whole life to kind of a concluding point, where I'm actually understanding everything I worked for. And it seems to be making perfect sense to me and a lot of other people, too.
Well, other than this little guy that was poking his head through the through the vortex, so to speak, have you had any other conscious recall of alien abduction experiences?
No. I mean, no, I've never had any conscious record. I've had a lot of dreams, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. I don't like to refer to all my dreams,
right,
things I remember as dreams, as contact. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I had a lot of dreams of being on ships. I had a lot of dreams about being with different kinds of, aliens. I've had a lot of dreams about some really bizarre things happening with the ETs and stuff.
Yeah.
But
a lot of these things, though, and I know in my own personal case, after the abduction, I had the dreams of the abduction. Now, it happened with Betty and Barney Hill.
Right.
You know, she kept having dreams. I don't remember if Barney did or not. I think Barney did as well.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But this is the mind's way of trying to deal with the situation that actually occurred.
Right. That's what gets me is the thing, here's something else I've been thinking about a lot lately because it's really been coming to the surface, and that's the whole My Labs thing, you're familiar with the, government and whoever it is, the black ops, working with the ETs and picking up experiencers to find out what they know.
Mm.
There's a couple of reasons, I think, why they wipe our memories after they abduct us. Like I said, I've had implants on several occasions when I know I had to be picked up to get the implant, so I know I've been picked up on multiple occasions, but and a lot of dreams about abduction. But a couple of reasons, I think, is, for one, we couldn't handle the reality. Waking up and knowing that you've been on a ship all night getting examined and all this going on, we just couldn't deal with that. I mean, it's hard enough to deal with what I deal with, and I've been dealing with for 15 or 18 years and a lifetime of paranormal experiences. But to deal with that, and then the other fact is in my labs, I think if they try to find out what we know, and if we don't remember, then they can't find out what we know.
Okay, my labs. What are my labs?
Well, that's the I'm not sure what the acronym stands for, but it's the military, and working with
ETs,
the bad ETs, I guess, to find out what experiencers are, learning from the good ETs. So yeah, that's a whole other ball of wax there.
Well, I guess so. So, are you saying that these abductions are conducted by our own military, or no?
Well, that's something, not my ET experiences. I mean, you got both going on, supposedly.
Hmm.
Like I said, I had dreams about the, being abducted with people, guys in military uniforms and ETs. And a lot of people have had experiences where they've been, had actual recollections, supposedly, of being picked up by people in military uniforms with ETs, working hand in hand with them, and basically the objective is to find out, what the ETs, the good ETs, are teaching the experiencers. I think is it Carl Turner who did the My Labs work? I'm not really sure, Dr. Carla Turner, I think, but
I don't know.
Probably butchering the name, but yeah, she did. There's a lot of research on it. Actually, Lorian Fenton from California MUFON Radio, when I've been talking to, she is in the Super Soldier program, and that has to do with my labs and the government training people, the black ops government, working with ETs and doing some real nasty stuff to people, experiencers and so forth, experiencers.
Well, Are we sure that, or are you sure that it's the our government working with malevolent ETs, or are they working with the benevolent ones?
Yeah, well, they're supposedly the malevolent ones, so. But who knows, you know.
Now,
You know, the thing is, these beings could be interdimensional. I mean, they may be humans wearing military uniforms from some other dimensional, you know, existence. So they may not even be from Earth. When you start talking other dimensions, there's all, you know, the potentiality for what's really going on is, you know, limitless.
Is it possible that, these ET gives us screen memories, like instead of seeing ET with a big black eyes,
yeah.
They see owls or they see deer, like that. Is this a screen memory of a person in military garb?
Yeah, that could be. You know, I don't know. Like I said, a lot of people say that, you know, that's what they see. So, you know, I said I've only had a couple experiences where I've had dreams about it, so I'm not real expert on that. But from what I've done, you know, from the research, you know, and with the screen memory thing, that's, you know, that's a possibility. Now these guys can do some crazy stuff. They got some really cool mind tricks they can pull.
Yeah. And okay, so you say that Daryl Sims did hypnotize you later.
Yeah, it was actually earlier in the day.
Oh, earlier.
Off camera,
yeah.
Before we actually filmed that part.
But have you ever been hypnotized by anyone other than, you know, a psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever?
No. Only time I actually, Dick Thorns, I know if you know who Dick Thorns is.
Oh, yes.
A friend of ours, psychologist, who did some hypnotherapy on me when I first, it's back probably about 2001, when I first started dealing with the experiences. And that was somewhat successful because I was working on the night I got the implant in my arm. And I actually kind of had a memory where I saw two grays basically just come through my ceiling. All I remember is them coming through my ceiling and grabbing hold of me. And that's all I remember. Okay. And then I woke up with the implant in my right arm.
Okay. Now, you say you have one in your right arm. How do you know? Have you had this x-ray? Do you...
After it happened, I woke up, the story's in my book of what happened that night. I woke up and there was a circular bruise on my arm that did not have a bruise in the center. And in the center where it wasn't bruised, there was a pellet embedded in my skin.
Mm.
You could squeeze it. It was really hard. And I went to my doctor, and my doctor looked at it, you know, and he didn't flip out. I told him, you know, you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but... You know, I'm seeing ships, and he says, "Well, no, I don't think you're crazy." He says, "The guy that I get my blueberries from gets picked up all the time, and I do some really nasty stuff to him. So I hope you're not getting picked up." But
wow! So this is the doctor.
My family doctor, was totally open to it, and he looked at it, he squeezed it, says, "Oh yeah, it's there." He sent me over for an X-ray, but it did not show up on X-ray.
Oh, it didn't.
And he offered to cut it out, and. I refused, and now I, you know, like I said, looking back, you know, I did ask for some help basically the night before they put it in my arm, and because I was dealing with some depression issues and going through some hard times, and next morning it was there. But my daughter, actually, she has an implant in her wrist that does show up on X-ray, a little metal chip that was about, well, when she was 15, and she's 24 today, actually, it's her birthday, so that was a little while ago that she had to get that one. Well, we noticed it when she was 15.
Mm-hmm.
She hurt her wrist, and they took an X-ray. And it's the first time she ever had an X-ray. And but then I also have one in my spine. And then we've had a series of bizarre events with the family and different marks and things and people seeing things over the years. But
and how
as far as the implants go, only, you know, three that we're sure of. You know, with memories of the people in the house here.
And how do you know that there's one in your spine?
Well, that was a really unique case where I woke up and a girl that was living with me at the time noticed I had this red mark on my back, and she could feel this, what felt like a pencil lead right on up against my vertebrae. And this was right back in the early 2000 when I was going through a lot of experiences. And I talked to a friend of mine at MUFON, and she's about what happened, and she said, "Well, just ask them to give you some kind of sign if that was them." And I did. What I did is I drew I had this friend of mine draw some marks on my back with an ink pen the next night, and I asked them if, you know, if it was them to draw another line in between the two lines to let me know that it was them. And I woke up the next morning, and there was a red line drawn between the two lines just in my skin.
In your skin.
It was just like a mark on my skin. It just seemed to be, and then it went away, you know, after that. But the implant, it was really tiny, pencil thin. I never had that, you know.
Wow.
Not anything done with it. And I'm not going to have anything. I'm not going to have them taken out or anything.
Why do you think that is? Why don't you want to have them taken out?
Well, here's the deal. You know, I mean, when I first saw the first one in my arm, I flipped out and I literally got a Stanley knife, a utensil, you know, utility knife with a razor blade,
oh,
and I was
going
to cut it out.
Oh, no.
I was going to literally just cut a big chunk of my skin out and pull this thing out. But then, you know, I decided not to, and I went to doctors, and, you know, I thought about it and left them in. But here's the deal with the implants, and I honestly believe that they're putting them in us to help us get ready for some kind of interdimensional shift that's coming to the planet. I honestly believe our planet is going to make some kind of energy shift here within the next few years. And those of us who get our energy bodies in line and can increase our vibration will be able to advance and bring the planet to this new dimension. And I believe the implants are somehow going in our physical bodies to help rejuvenate the energy body, our chakra systems, and all that entails, and our energy meridians. And in so doing, will help us to, you know, make this interdimensional shift, not only helping our energy bodies, but our physical body as well, because our physical body is simply a manifestation of the energy body in our consciousness. So, if that helps.
kind of, yeah. But, you know, I'm wondering now, is this going to be a gradual shift, or all of a sudden we notice it, you know, like people like me notice that you're gone. Where'd he go? Why is he in another dimension? You know, you're left here.
Right. That's the thing. You know, I'm not really sure. A lot of prophets, a lot of, you know, Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, a lot of biblical prophecies say that the change will happen in the twinkling of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
So it will happen, and I believe that when this thing actually happens, it will happen just like that. Hmm. However, I do believe that they are working with us, the interdimensionals or extraterrestrials, to help us wake up to this, you know, the conscious reality. What, you know, basically what my book is about is the reality that we're, you know, we're all one being, and unity consciousness is what we need to get back to. Realize that we're all connected through energy, that our consciousness creates our reality. You know, that's the message they're trying to get to us. It's not so much about, you know, them. Mm. It's really about us.
Mm.
So, but yeah, when it happens, I hope it happens real quick, and it just happens.
It just happens. Get it over with. Don't drag it out. Huh? I hear you. So I want to ask you the same question that you were asked on Uncovering Aliens.
Right.
Do you feel that there is an alien base, a UFO base, underneath the waters of Lake Michigan?
You know, that's could be, you know, but I look at it like this. There could be one under, you know, 5 miles from my house under the big hill where the farm is sitting, you know.
Yeah,
There could be one sitting right down, you know, out in the open somewhere in another dimension.
Yeah.
You know, the premise, like I said, when they came out to do the show, I think they had an agenda to do about, you know, UFOs in Lake Michigan, and that's what they did it on. And, of course, you know, I had, you know, seen plenty of ships over the lake, so I had something to offer there. But as far as the base, you know, there could be there, and it would be a good place for them to hide, but, you know, and the water has no effect on the ships, and supposedly there could be some, you know, relationship between fuel and, you know, their fuel source and water, so...
Mm.
A good possibility, but like I said, if they're interdimensional, there could be a dimension, you know, we could be sitting inside of a UFO base in another dimension.
Certainly.
And not be aware of it.
Certainly.
At all.
It would seem, you know, I don't know how deep it gets in Lake Michigan, maybe you do,
right.
But it would seem that sonar would be able to discover any kind of metallic objects down there other than, you know, sunken ships.
Yep, right. Right.
If there's a base, you know, sunken ships would be one here, one there.
Right.
But a base, it'd be like,
Yeah, you
sure, a lot of ships down there.
Somebody found something by now. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a big lake, no doubt about it, and it's deep. But, you know, like I said, who knows? Yeah, it could be. But, like I said, there could be one just down the road under the hill, you know.
I don't know about bases underneath the water. I agree it would be a good place to hide. But, now I'm not going to be able to tell you the name of the trench, the deepest trench.
Yeah, Marianas Trench.
There you go. Yeah. That'd be good, excellent place for them to get a base, right?
Right, right. Or somewhere in the southern Indian Ocean. Never find it there.
Yeah, never find it. No, we won't go. Don't go down that road, Phil.
I won't.
But it's true.
I know.
Oh man, what are you gonna do? But to my knowledge, we've never been able to get down into that. Now I'm going to trip up over that. The trench.
Yeah, right. No. There could be bases on there, but they could be anywhere. And we have, you know, no way of knowing it.
If any place, underground bases.
Right. Oh, you know, here's the thing. It's something I never really thought about. I started hearing a lot of talk about underground bases over the last few years. You know, a lot of people talking about them all over the United States and, I think it was Phil Snyder, the guy, geologist, who did a lot of talking about them and so forth. But I never put it together that when my UFO encounters really started was a day or so after I was told a story by a former Marine who told me that he witnessed some things at an underground military base. But I never... And this was here's another thing, Dave, I want people to look into that I never heard of, and I wanted the show to look into, is underground military bases that the U.S. is involved with that are somewhere in the deserts of Italy.
Really?
Yeah, because this guy told me he was there. I met him. I met his wife and their kid. He showed me his papers, special unit in the Marine Corps. I knew a friend of his, you know, and he told me the story how he would guard. He was a guard, big guy. He would go in this underground facility into a small, like, auditorium room with a steel door, and his job was to turn around and face a steel door. If anybody came, if that door opened and he didn't open it, he was to shoot anybody who was there. So he never asked questions. He didn't do nothing. Well, one day, months into his assignment there, he got curious and started a film that was like an old 8mm film, you know, reel-to-reel film, and noticed that there was a similar facility, like the one he was at, an underground facility, that had helicopters and limousines with flags from different nations on them. And then it cut to the inside of this underground facility, and there was a small, mini United Nations-like auditorium. And at the podium was a small, what appeared to be an alien. It was kind of like a gray, but it had hair. And had, you know, four fingers, short, but had, you know, big head, big eyes, but not, you know, your typical gray. It was kind of, you know, different, more human than a gray. But he said he saw this. He flipped out, shut it off. When he went home, you know, he had an abduction experience. A gray sat on him, told him, you know, not to do anything. And that's how, you know, after he told me that story, within a day or so, I think I had three saucers or more flying over my house down in Tennessee.
And now you have told us that story.
Right, so there you go. And that's one thing he told me, is that something happened. You know, the story's in my book, too.
Yeah.
He told me that when he was abducted after that, the aliens told him not to tell anybody.
Really?
But he couldn't help telling me because I was talking about things that interested him at the time, so he had to tell me.
So to all of our listeners, now that we've heard that story, really keep an eye on this guy. I need to take another quick break to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the only station making waves. You're out of Henry Ford Community College in Dearborn. And it's 89.3 FM on your radio, WHFR.FM on your computer worldwide. So you're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell. We're speaking with investigator and experiencer and author, Mr. Phil Cava. And Phil, we don't have a lot of time left, but I do want to ask you about your work with the late and great Dr. Lefty Levengood, with his CDP machine. I have seen this machine. I have touched it. My sister, he was more impressed with my sister, her energies, than mine. He sloughed me off. I mean, he doesn't pull any punches. He never did pull any punches, you know. Very interested in my sister's energy. And I tried it, and he said, nah, give me your sister back. So, but do you feel, and I've talked about the CDP machine on the show before, in that Joyce Hagelthorn was was in Dearborn, and he was in Grass Lake, Michigan.
Yep.
And she was sending messages, mental images and messages to the CDP machine, and it was actually going.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
she fell asleep.
Right.
And she woke up and said, oh, my goodness, I'm supposed to be sending messages.
Yep.
And the data coordinated with the time that she was asleep, these energies fell off until she woke up. So, you know, there's a lot to be said about this machine.
Absolutely.
And go ahead.
Yeah, and I remember that experiment well. Lefty told me that story many times. Joyce was an awesome lady too. She was really something else. Anyways, the CDP device can basically measure. I've done similar experiments. I've had Ed Edwards send energy from Wisconsin to Michigan and have the CDP device measure it, you know, subtle energy, doing his energy healing techniques. I've had another young man from New Mexico send energy to a participant here to the CDP device in Michigan, and it registered. I've had multiple energy workers send energy across rooms and show that we can, you know, we're all connected through energy.
Right.
And this was when I first met the doctor with Lefty, you know, biophysicist W.C. Levengood, I got on the CDP device and I blew it off scale. Mm. And for the first time, he had to turn the sensitivity up so he can measure someone's energy on it. And so it really made me realize that, wow, we're really tapped in. Mm-hmm. And that was back in 2001. I think I started working with Lefty. And like I said, right before, unfortunately, Lefty passed away, I tried to get Discovery Channel to talk about the CDP device, because the day I discovered that we have a machine that can show that we can send energy to each other and that we're connected somehow through our consciousness, through our intent, we can use our intent and send energy to other people and affect their energy fields.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing is, for me, is this was a personally a neat thing, because my grandfather was a faith healer back in the Appalachian Mountains of Pennsylvania back in the early 1900s, and he could do distant healing where he would pray for somebody and they would stop bleeding, whether they were 100 miles away or 1,000 miles away.
Right.
And now, after I noticed that, you know, this kind of confirmed that what my grandpa supposedly could do was possible. And since all my work with Dr. Levengood, I discovered that it is absolutely possible for people to send energy from one person to another. Well, I was doing the television show, Ed Edwards came up, and I learned a neat energy sending technique from observing him, and I can actually send energy and teach people how to do this technique. So I'm going to make some pretty crazy claims right here, but I tell you what, I can do it, and I can teach other people how to do the same thing. I already have taught other people, but I can use a simple energy sending technique to send energy over distance, any distance, doesn't matter if it's 100 miles or 1,000 miles, or probably to the moon, but I can have someone who's aware, either over Skype or over telephone, or just knowing that I'm sending the energy to them, I can manipulate the energy fields and move people back and forth telekinetically from any place on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I also put up some YouTube videos that people can go check out, type my name into YouTube. And if you pay attention, if you're open to it, the YouTube videos will move you. I actually did a demonstration at the MUFON meeting where I have the same YouTube video up. It's a blacked out video. And any of my videos, they'll all do the same thing. But you just have to open yourself up to it, open your energy body up, and you will feel the subtle energy pulling you from a YouTube video that I made by using the intent of my mind and my brain to imprint energy onto a video. And it works, and anyone can do this. And I actually explain how it's done in my book. It is so simple. Mm-hmm. It's you won't believe it.
So this is on YouTube, and you put in Phil Kava, K-A-V-A.
Yeah.
And these will come up. We're not going to do it over the radio because sometimes people are driving in their car listening to
right,
us.
Yeah, right, right.
And we
could sometime. Well, I don't know. She probably can't do it, but I could actually do it over the live radio show to everyone listening, and anyone that's open to it, and will just take a minute to participate in the experiment would feel it over the show, and if the show was archived and recorded, people would feel it even over the recorded show.
It is archived. It is archived on WHFR. It's archived on my website. But I still don't want them to do it in their car.
No.
It
can be dangerous.
All these cars weaving back and forth and the road. They're listening to Dave's show over on WHFR. That's wonderful.
But people can check out my website, philkava.com, and look me up on Facebook. Check out my YouTube videos. There's some real cool stuff going on in the world, and people need to be aware of what's happening and wake up to this conscious awakening.
Do you feel that this heightened sense of energies, mental energies that you now have, is a result of alien contact? Does this happen since your experiences?
I think there's a genetic factor. Like I said, my grandfather could do distance healing. It was something he learned from someone way back, white magic stuff. But so there may be some genetic factors. But then again, maybe my grandfather was abducted his whole life. Who knows? But,
because it's often said that abductees affect electrical, electrical things around them. They're walking down the street, and the street lights go out and then go back on when they passed, and that type of thing.
Well, and with Dr. Levengood's, all his research with the CDP device found that experiencers had, on average, a higher general energy levels than non-experiencers.
Right.
But I think there's some, I think experiencers have some, maybe a genetic factor or a higher natural ability to connect to the energy. But I think what happened to me, it definitely, my whole life has been influenced by the ETs. I can't say that they actually came down and taught me anything or showed me anything. But I can say that throughout my life, since I think my whole life probably, but definitely last 18 years or so, that I've been aware of them, they have made things happen or put me in positions or had people come into position, to my life that have led me to these findings. So in some way or another, I think the ETs are responsible for my abilities with the energy. But more importantly, I think there's some changes in the universe because, like I said, I taught several people how to do this technique. And it tells you how to do it in my book, but the people that I taught had no background in energy healing, no research, so they didn't have any experiences. And I basically explained to them how to do it like I do in the book, and they can do this. It's crazy. You can move people back and forth from 10 feet across the room or 100 miles away.
Do you notice any pronounced psychic abilities with you?
Well, here's the thing. I'm definitely, things have absolutely opened up with me and my connection with the universe, especially, over the last year. But since my ET contact started, like I said, when I need to know something, if I'm just kind of feeling down or depressed, I need to know that they're still hanging out, all I do is just ask them to show themselves. And sometimes they'll, if I'm outside, they'll show them, ship will come up instantly. I don't see the, ETs themselves, but their craft. And, if I have, like when my wife and I first met, I told her the story. I asked them to show themselves, and a couple of days after we met, and we saw five ships.
And she still married you.
I know. That's crazy.
What can I say?
We've been together 13 years. I don't understand.
I don't know.
But, and it's hard. It's hard to deal with this stuff. This is, my reality is not, normal. It is for me, but, Like I said, I wouldn't, you know, wish this on any. I'd wish the good things on everybody, but it's still hard to get used to. Yeah. I mean, it's still hard to get used to.
Well, you're saying Norm. Go ahead.
You know, the fact that we're not alone and we've been lied to our whole lives about, you know, who we are, what we are, and what we're capable of. Mm-hmm. Save that for a whole other show. You know?
Yeah, all right. But you say normal for you. Well, you know, it's natural, but it's not usual. So maybe the word normal is correct, but nothing happens outside the laws of nature. It's just, do we know everything there is to know about the laws of nature?
Right.
And I think the answer to that is a resounding no. We do not. We think we do, or science has always been that way. They think they know everything there is to know, you know?
Well, the thing is, finally, you know, like I discussed in my book, quantum physics has caught up to reality and spirituality. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to get rid of the religion thing and look at who we are consciously in terms of quantum physics. Mm-hmm. And I think I do a pretty decent job of explaining in my book for the average person how we, you know, relate to the universe in terms of quantum physics, and how we can use the power of our minds to manipulate our reality and change reality and create the reality that we desire. Mm-hmm. And I'm really learning this to be true in my daily life and everything I practice. And it's really just becoming more and more clear as every day goes on. And like I said, as far as the psychic connection, yeah, I think we all have that ability to tap into the ether, you know, to the Akashic records and everything.
Right.
But we just have to vibrate on the right level and take the time to meditate and focus, because all the answers are inside of us. You know, they're not out there. They're actually right inside of us.
That's it.
We just need to find the time, the peace and quiet, and get to those answers.
Yeah. And Edgar Cayce could do the same thing. What, you say your grandfather did this?
Yeah.
You know, the same thing Edgar Cayce did. Now, and people, you know, oh, gee, this Cayce was just wonderful. He was just one in a million, nobody else like him. Well, obviously, there were several people like him.
Yeah.
But
well, here's the thing.
It never got the notoriety, you know?
Yeah, right. You know, and I can, you know, of course, I don't want to call myself a healer. I'm an energy sender, manipulator. The energy that I send can heal people, but the healing is up to them and the universe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to call myself a healer. My wife especially wants me to make sure that clear, you know. Don't go around calling, telling people you're going to heal them. Mm-hmm. I send the energy, but the healing has to come from them, you know. Yeah. It has to come. They have to want it. They have to make the changes. They have to do the right things to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And take advantage of it. But yeah, I'm not special. I can teach this technique to anybody, this energy sending technique. And when you take this technique, there's so much more to it than what I'm just explaining in the book. In the book, it's just an awakening to realize that we're all connected through energy, that we can use the power of our brain and our mind to send energy to other people, call it prayer, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. If we take that energy and send it from our hearts, we can literally heal anything on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
If we truly do it out of love, mm-hmm. and with no ego, we can all perform miracles. So we're all miracle workers. I'm no more special than anybody else. Everybody has the ability.
Yeah, I've always been a great believer in the power of prayer. And what is that prayer but sending out that energy into the universal consciousness? Am I correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it. And like I said, with the energy technique I teach in the book and I do on the YouTube videos, there's no prayer involved. You know, I always pray for protection and love, you know, in everything I do. But to do the energy technique itself, you don't have to meditate. You don't have to have a Reiki symbol. You don't have to, say, you know, do it in anyone's name other than your own. Because what you're doing is you're just using your brain, and you're lighting up your pineal gland and taking that energy and moving it around your brain and channeling it through your body.
Right.
And with the power of your mind to control it. That's all there is to it. And doing it in certain ways can make energy flow in different directions and connect to other people anywhere. And anyone can do it.
Right.
I mean, literally, anyone can do this. You don't have to be special. You don't have to wait till you get over all your problems, whatever. You just as you are, just stand up and realize who you are as a human being. And this is, you know, one of the things in my book I really try to get across people is wake up and realize who you are and how special you are and how powerful you are with the power of your intent and the power of your mind. Because our intent can do miracles. Absolutely.
Once again, Phil, your name of your book again is...
It's On the Shoulders of Giants, Contemplating the Super Scientific on My Journey Towards Enlightenment.
Now, there is a mouthful.
It is.
And do you have a website people can go to?
Yeah, it is. It's just www.philkava.com. Mm-hmm. That's Phil, K-A-V-A.com. And you can order, you know, get the book there from Amazon or link to it from Amazon and learn a little bit more about me, and my website has some really cool stuff for people to check out, some cool videos and some really neat things on spirit science and some interesting topics.
Good. Phil Kava, I really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you, Dave.
And hope we can do this again sometime.
Sounds fantastic.
Okay. And if our listeners have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. This show, as well as all the forum shows, is now archived at WHFR.FM's website. Click on the talk shows and on the homepage, and then Tuesday Forum. And We Are Not Alone is also archived at my website, which is UFOImplications.com. So please stay tuned to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, for the best in alternative programming. I want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
This is Jen Cass, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Such a smart choice.
WHFR, the station making waves, proudly presents The Best of Broadway, a program featuring the best of American musical theater. Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Joe, your host. We've taken care of your tickets. Now let me escort you through 2 hours of enjoyment of the best of Broadway. Good afternoon again, and welcome to The Best of Broadway. I'm Joe, your host, and today's play is going to be Brigadoon.